Well, when I was 26 years of age, I still had all my grandparents. But yet, within the next year, three of the four were gone. And it's one of those cases, after it's all over with, that you sit back and you realize that I wish now that I had not taken that relationship so much for granted. And I wish now that I had the opportunities maybe to sit down and talk to them some more, or just to be with them some more. Some of the best memories I have in my life were during summers when my brother and I, when we were not that big, would stay for weeks at my grandparents' house on the farm. And as I got thinking about grandparents, I came across an article that Irma Bombeck wrote about. And I don't usually read from other sources, but this here I think is noteworthy, or I'm going to read it at least. And it's called Imagine a Child's Life Without a Grandparent. I was amused by the story of a 65-year-old grandmother in New England who wanted to become a scoutmaster, and the attorney for the Boy Scouts contended that a female would be dangerous and an anti-democratic, as 11-year-old boys are entitled to an adult male role model. The thought crossed my mind that if it were not for women, there would be no male adults for role models, or attorneys, or for that matter, Boy Scouts. Today happens to be National Grandparents Day. Maybe it's a good time to take a look at this group and try to imagine what a child's life would be without them. Kids would wander around forever trying to hustle all those cookies and all-purpose greeting cards. And who else but a grandparent would buy 20 chances on a live pony so they could go with the band to state finals? Who do you think would take the time to listen to a child describe a movie he had just seen, which takes longer to explain than it took to make the movie? Who would babysit them when they were contagious and throwing up and rock them until they went to sleep? Their world would be one long series of empty cookie jars, pianos with do not touch on them, and magazines you couldn't crown in. There would be no more impractical gifts that parents say kids don't need. No more ice cream before dinner, and no more going to bed with dirty feet. And who do you think would tell them how parents messed up when they were little kids? For sure, not the parents. Only a grandparent can pass on to them something so vital to their lives as their history. Who but grandparents could endure the pain of divorce when they get custody of nothing but memories and longing? Grandparents are the only people who could survive the insults of their children who allow them to babysit and send along five pages of instructions on what to do. Grandparents are a mystery to children. They're married, but they don't have kids. They're too old to play games, but they do. They're a part of the family, but they're not allowed to say anything. They stand on the edge of a child's life with love and pride, and a camera to record everything they do. As I read that, I just thought, that really is a good description of grandparents. And as you think about that relationship of grandparents, I can tell you honestly, of course, one thing that makes this relationship a little bit different is the fact that you have the parents of the children, you have the grandparents, and then you have the grandchildren. As Irma points out in this lesson here, that the parents are really, of course, the children of the grandparents. And I can tell you that when we brought our children home, when we brought our first child home, I realized that our lives have changed forevermore whenever we quit being Dennis and Regina and we became Eli's mom and dad. And I started realizing that my parents changed all of a sudden because they acted differently than what they had with me and my brother and my sister. And so this creates a relationship that sometimes is strained, and there are some things I've noticed that have been common complaints between the parents and the grandparents. And one of the complaints as far as the parents to the grandparents or the grandparents I've heard is often that they are abused as babysitters. And I have seen that at times where maybe mom and dad just take their mom and dad for granted. And think that they always want to keep the adorable little children, and so they drop them off the last minute, or they just take advantage of them. And of course, that's not necessarily always bad to have your grandparents watch after you, but there are times that we have to consider them. I tell Regina that we have been fortunate in some ways and unfortunate in other ways, and that we have never really lived close to either one of our parents. And we have stayed out of some of the pitfalls that I've seen with my brothers and sisters and other people. But and this one of those, maybe I've taken advantage of my mom and dad. Another complaint I often hear is that children who are left and do not behave, that their parents have not taught them to behave as they should when they are in grandma and grandpa's house. And that's one thing that obviously as parents we have to focus, teach our children, is that no matter where they are at, they have to behave. And so that's a common complaint that we have on that side. On the other side, parents, and I can understand these also, and one is that of interfering with the rearing of children. Now, I can testify to you that there is a difference in how my mom and dad disciplined my brother and I and how they want our children disciplined sometimes. When I was growing up, I tell people, I used to believe my dad was the meanest person alive. Now, after I'm a parent, I understand that really he was pretty tame and calm, but I can remember a lot of times getting a lot of whippings. And probably they were justified. I'm not saying they weren't, but whenever I knew things were differently, one time when my parents came and visited us, and we only had Eli, and they stayed for a few days, and they went back, and I got a telephone call from my mama. And mom was really upset. I mean, she was really upset. And the reason that she was upset is because we were spanking that little boy, and that we shouldn't be doing that to that little baby. And I just thought, my, how things have changed. And now here we have this adorable little creature that now could do nothing wrong. And of course, there's times you have to say, well, that's just different in age. But there can be times when it can become interference. Another complaint is simply that of also spoiling children. And I've seen situations that, of course, parents spoil children, but I've also seen situations where the grandparents go out and buy extravagant gifts for these children that the parents have decided their child does not need and should not have at their age, or it's just too extravagant. I knew of a 16-year-old whose grandmother offered to buy him a brand-new car, despite the fact that the parents knew better, knew that he shouldn't even be driving at that age because he's just too immature. I've also seen other parents buy gifts for smaller children, of course, that were just extravagant. And so that creates some problems. And the solution to all of this is, of course, that you have to have some communication. And there has to be some ground rules where both sides listen. And one is that you need to make sure that the children or the grandchildren do not hear of the disagreements between parents and grandparents. That just as a child learns that if mom and dad disagree, and if you can go back forward enough that you might get your way when you find the one that agrees with it, they also learn that about the grandparents. That case I gave to you earlier about the 16-year-old, he knew that his parents did not want him to have a car. He went to his grandmother on purpose, and he knew that he would get it if she had her way. And so that's simply a matter of point right there. But that really isn't what I want to spend all the time talking about. I want to talk more time about the children and the grandchildren and grandparents themselves. And to those of you who are grandchildren, I believe the Bible tells us some things about this relationship. And as I said before, it is a relationship that's really very temporary because of age, if nothing else. As far as how long we'll have them, there are some points that the Bible makes. Over in Proverbs 29 chapter. In Proverbs 29 chapter, Proverbs 20th chapter, verse 29. Proverbs 20th chapter, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. That the splendor of old men is a gray head. That as in the Bible, as we read about the aged or the older or those who have gray hair, it's always mentioned basically as a matter of respect that's due them. That as grandchildren, we need to respect our grandparents. Now, we need to realize how special they really are. As I said before, many times we do not appreciate them until they're gone. When I first gave this lesson, I was in a congregation that had a number of families, five generations, that were living. And I often tried to think about those children who not only had their grandparents, but their great-grandparents alive. And I realized as I was watching them, now, of course, much older, but as I watched them, I realized they had no idea about how special they really were in this relationship, how most people do not have that opportunity to know their great-grandparents like they knew theirs. And as we look at our grandparents, they're older, and we should respect them because of what they are. They are, as Irma said, our heritage. Over in Proverbs 13 chapter, in verse 22, that the writer there says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." And there's times as I look at my life back in Kentucky and where my parents still live, I realize that some of the blessings I had was the fact that my grandparents were honorable people. And my family name, nothing else, stood for something in some of those communities. And as you look at this here, that's some of the life talking about our inheritance, good inheritance that we receive from our children. Also, as you look at this, I think about the fact that I realize that who I am is a result of what they were. That I can look physically. I was joking tonight with one of the people had dinner with about the fact that I claim sometimes to be in the wrong family. And the reason is because I have a sister that's 4'10". A mom that's 5'2", a father that's 5'5", and a brother that's about 5'7". Now, and when we take family pictures of all the Tuckers, I'm the only one that's over 6 foot tall. And so I sometimes say, I just don't belong in that family. But, you know, every now and then when we look at old pictures, I realize that's me when I see my grandparents. Or when I see my dad when he was a young man, and I look and people say, that's Dennis right there. I understand I'm a product of them, that they are my heritage. As look at this here over, we find another quality besides the idea of respect, and that is over in 1 Kings. There's another thing we need to do, and that is we need to listen to them. And 1 Kings does not deal specifically with the idea, 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, does not specifically deal with the idea of grandparents, but those who are older, those who are the elders. And this here deals with a time when Rehoboam went and asked counsel of what he should do. And let's just look at verse 6. Then the king Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he was still lived, and he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And he spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the counsel which the elders gave him and consulted young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And as you go ahead and read on down, of course, the advice of the counsel of the young men were totally contrary to what the older men said. And because that, we have the division or part of division because of that right there. Who do we listen to? And, of course, you're going to get different advice when you ask your grandparents what you should do. And you need to listen to them over in Ecclesiastes 1st chapter. In Ecclesiastes 1st chapter, around verse 9 and 10, the wise man right there, Solomon, tells us that in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, starting verse 9, "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything which it may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us." Now, my grandparents had already seen many of the fads come and go. They just kind of get recycled from generation to generation. But many of the same principles are still the very same. And I realized something about my one grandfather still alive. And he's about 91, 92 now. And he's a man that grew up without any education. He cannot write his name. He cannot read the Bible for himself. That when he was born, I don't even know if there was a car in the whole state of Kentucky. And he's lived a hard life. And sometimes I know some of my cousins and some of my relatives look at him kind of strangely, and sometimes people say, I'm the only one to get along with him. But I believe the reason, part of the reason is because I realize he looks at life a lot differently than what we generally do. And there's times there's a lot of wisdom in what he says. And so you need to sit down sometimes and listen to what they are saying, because they have seen the results of a lot of things. They have seen the results of sin. They have seen the results of many of the new modern theories that were modern 20, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And so listen to them. But another thing is also, is that as we listen to them, we need to accept their correction. Over in Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Now listen to them, and part of that is to listen to their rules. Now my grandmother Beasley was the kind of lady that you did not wear pants to her house ever. And those rules stuck. And I believe rules like that, we might say, oh, they're old-fashioned. Regina's grandmother had a rule, nobody used dice in her house, even in Monopoly or board games, and she had a spin wheel that they used instead of dice. And we might think, well, what's the difference? But I tell you, it may be none in our minds, but it was a lot in theirs. And as long as you're in their house, you need to go by their rules. You need to respect their wishes, because that's their house. And so listen to them when they have rules and when they have correction. Also, in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verse 4 is another responsibility we have as grandchildren. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. It is really a shame. And I know there's times called medical reasons we cannot take care of people in our home. But in a lot of situations today, you see grandparents who are taken to the homes or taken outside of their home because we don't want to deal with them. Either the parents or the grandchildren or whoever does not want to deal with that. Right here we have instruction. We need to deal with that. And I heard this from another preacher. I wish I thought of it myself originally, but I thought he had a real good point. And that is that I need to be showing help. I need to help my parents when they need help. And I need to help my grandparents when they need help, because one of these days, my children need to learn how to help me. And our grandchildren need to know how to help us so they can help their own parents. And that's the instruction we have right here. Make sure we're the ones that help our own grandparents. And so these are some of the responsibilities we have as far as grandchildren or grandparents. Now, also, this is a two-way street. And there are some responsibilities we have on the other side. Over in Psalms 128, verse 6. In Psalms 128, verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. Children are talked about as a blessing. Grandchildren are talked about as a blessing in life. And, of course, they're a blessing, but there are also some things that you have to do and that they need that only I believe grandparents can provide. I one time heard a statement that grandparents are there to create magic in the lives of grandchildren. And there are some things about this. I realize that when I deal with my parents, there are sometimes I realize that, well, what's the harm if grandma and grandpa let them one time or every now and then have ice cream for dinner? Well, I bring them back home, we'll straighten them out. Sometimes that's my idea. But as you look at the Bible says something, one responsibility I believe that grandparents do have is mentioned over in 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, in verse 5. And that's talking about Timothy and his upbringing. And Paul mentions there the fact that when I call to remembrance, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And my point out of this is the fact that if the parents are teaching their children, then the grandparents need to make sure that they're also there to help and reinforce what their grandchildren are learning. Now, as I said earlier, that my grandparents did not believe the same thing I believe. They were members of the denomination, when they were alive. But I do remember the fact that they respected God and respected the Bible. And they would not teach anything intentionally against that. And so as grandparents, you need to make sure that you're helping reinforce what mom and dad are teaching their children about the Bible. And if the grandchildren are not learning the Bible, then you may be the only source of instruction they're receiving. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, in verse 14 and 15. But as for you, continue the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I can tell you, my father is a Christian today because of his grandparents. His grandfather. That my grandparents, his mom and dad, never hardly took them to church. Very seldom did they ever mention the Bible in the home, and that's because they had division among themselves. But my dad, I grew up learning about the Bible a lot of times by his telling us what he learned from his grandfather. And when he wanted to become a Christian, he knew what the Bible said about it. And so here we have that instruction. We need to learn and teach our younger generation. The time you have with your grandchildren counts in this matter. Another thing is you need to make sure you're providing a good example. In Titus, the second chapter, we have there the instruction, of course, of the older men to the younger men, the older women to the younger women. And I specifically mention that to grandparents, but I'll tell you right now, what kind of examples do your grandchildren have? And I'll tell you that if your grandchildren are like many of them, that their role models of those who they idolize are the rock stars today and the movie stars today. And they need role models like you of dignity and grace. We had a lady down in Trenton that every time I thought about the idea of dignity and grace, I thought of her because that's what she provided. And I thought about her grandchildren. They got to see that kind of a lady. And so make sure you're providing good examples for your children. I remember my own grandparents. I mentioned before we stay with on during the summers, and I know that every night before we go to bed, we had a prayer. We didn't do that at home, but we had a prayer at their house. I remember also one thing about my grandmother is that at the dinner table, now this kind of shows you how, I think she misapplied the word of God, but when she had cornbread, she wouldn't cut it. We always broke it. That's because the Bible spoke about breaking bread. And yet, I learned some lessons from her. That were good lessons because of her example that she had. And the last thing I say to grandparents is make sure you're listening to your grandchildren. I know that one of the troubles as parents, that sometimes we do get in a hurry. And sometimes we're not there to listen as much as we should to our own children. And so you need to listen to their dreams and their troubles and be able to offer them some good advice. I came across something that a young child one time wrote in a class, that they were asked to give the definition of a grandmother. And so this young, I don't know if boy or girl, but this was their definition of a grandmother. A grandmother is a lady with no children of her own. She likes other people's girls and boys. A grandfather is a man grandmother. Grandmothers don't have to do anything but be there. They are old. They shouldn't have to do anything. But if they take us for walks, they slow down past things like flowers and pretty leaves. They never say, hurry up. Usually they are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. Keep in mind, this is somebody else writing this. They wear glasses and strange clothes. They can take their teeth and gums out. Grandmothers don't have to be smart. Only answer questions like, why isn't God married? When they read to us, they don't skip or mind reading the same story over and over again. Everybody should have a grandmother, especially if you don't have TV, because they are the only ones to have time for you. I thought a good definition of a grandmother. I remind us of something I heard not too long ago, and that is, who has children but no grandchildren? And the answer to that is God. And that one of the things that we can help it as grandparents and to instruct your grandchildren the Word of God, just as parents we try to do, but that decision of whether or not to become a Christian is every generation's own. And as I tell some people that my great-grandfather on one side was a Baptist preacher. My great-grandfather on the other side was a preacher for Church of Christ. But I'm a Christian because of neither one. That I had to decide for myself what the Bible said and whether or not to obey what God instructs in His Word. And same for you tonight. If you're not a Christian, you have the same choice to make. And as we find in Gospel of John, the first chapter, that they're talking about Christ as came down for us. It says, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, why don't you come forward as we stand and as we sing.